So if you would, please, turn to Galatians, this book that Anthony's been handling so very well. In chapter 2. This verse is a description about where we are today and what is in store for us and how to deal with it and some facts about it. And it would seem to me that we use it so much around here, but it just seems like there were some questions just this week that I wonder if it was being completely understood. In the second chapter of Galatians, chapter 2, and verse 20, Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Now what that means is he died to himself when he accepted Christ. He chose that he would no longer be in control of himself, but God would be. So he died to himself and his own desires, his own ambitions, and the things that he wanted to do for himself. He says, nevertheless, I live. A strange thing here. He has died to himself, but he's still living. Yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, that is, in my body, walking around, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, this thing says that Christ liveth in me. Now, we understand that Christ died on the cross about 2,000 years ago. But he was resurrected on the third day. And Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2 says that today he's sitting in a throne on the right-hand side of God's throne. He's still alive, folks. He's still alive in heaven. He's still alive in the flesh. God, Jehovah God, the Father, is a spirit. You can't shake hands with him because he doesn't have a body. God the Holy Spirit is a spirit. But Jesus, the third of the Godhead, took on an earthly body when he came and walked here. And he still got it. You can see the nail prints and the scars today if you can see it. And he's sitting at the right hand of God. He came to earth those 33 years to do the will of the Father. And today, don't you see, he's still about that. Now what he did, he made a situation where that when he died and went to heaven, he could take another piece of God, the Holy Spirit, and place that piece of God inside of us. And that piece of God that is inside of us can equip us and allow us and encourage us and teach us how to do the very things that Christ did while he was down here. That is the responsibility of us as Christians. This thing about the whole thing about God and Christ and the Holy Spirit, and it's not about churches. Churches play a big part in it. But you can go to church four times a week and still miss the thing that God has for you. So, what I'm saying this morning, our relationship is this. That we do the things that Christ wants us to do that have been assigned to him by God, and we are led and activated into doing that by the Holy Spirit that he has placed inside of us. Now in chapter 3, and verse 10. It says, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them." What it says here is, if you're going to use the law of God as your justification for being a Christian, you got to use the whole law. You can't pick and choose. And if you don't use the whole law, you're under a curse, God says. "But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God." Now you can say, "I am going to heaven because I am a good person." You can say that if you want to, but it doesn't work. That's what he says here. Because doing the law is not going to get you anywhere with God. "For the just shall live by faith." You see what it said back up here. "And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God." That's the way you do it. To be told that it's about being good and being bad is a sidetrack. And a lot of people have been caught by it. Because you see, my Bible tells me I can't be good. I can't be good. Christ can come inside of me and He can cause me to do good things. But in my flesh, that is in my body, with my own efforts, without Christ, I can't do anything. "And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them." So we've got a choice here. You can either live, like Nicodemus came to Christ and he says, "How can I be saved?" And he said, "Well, you do the Ten Commandments." He said, "But I've done them all my life." And you see, at that point, there was no salvation by even doing the Ten Commandments. Now, a lot of folks believe today that they can be saved by the things they do, by their behavior, if you will. We've got a lot of misconceptions about all of this. And you say, and I say to you, how can you do right? Because you see, the Baptists have got it right. The Methodists have got it right. The Presbyterians have got it right. The Catholics have got it right. You go down the list. Everybody has got it right, and they're all different. It's like the lady that asked one of the Bible preachers, O.J. Vernon McGee, is about 30 years ago, and she said, "When I was born, this was sin. Then wearing those dresses like the flappers wore was sin. And then in the 40s, makeup was sin. And then in the 50s, smoking cigarettes was sin. And here it is the 60s, and there's something else. What is sin?" The best definition I ever heard. He said, "Sin is when you're on a one-way street. And that street is God. And anytime you slow down or turn and go the other way, you're sinning." So what is sin? When you don't do what God wants you to do. That's what it is. Now, there are things God does not want me to do that this Bible says is okay for me to do. But that's my particular deal. God has given that to me and He says, "I don't want you doing that." So you see, being right, you have to have a standard. Who's right? So you see, God has placed this part of Him inside of me. And it tells me what I need to do and what I don't need to do. It bothers me when I do things that go against Him. And it encourages me and gives me peace and joy and happiness when I do what He wants me to do. That is more reliable than trying to find somebody's standard that says what is right and what is not right. There is no doctrine for all different peoples and denominations. That is of man, and it's sin. It's the same Bible, the same meaning, the same thing for everybody. And when we take bits and pieces out of it and try to build a particular denomination on it, we get in trouble. Because it was never meant to be that way. In Galatians chapter 5, if you'll turn over, I'm sorry, I put down the wrong number. Excuse me, I had the wrong page too. Chapter 5, verse 14. It says here, for all that law that people are trying to get us to do. See, the problem with the Galatians, they had a bunch of people came in and started dealing with a bunch of saved people and said, you're going to have to do all these things the Jews have done all these years in order to be a Christian. And some of them were doing them. And Paul came, wrote them a letter and says, you don't need to do that. Why are you so foolish that after I've told you what to do, you'd go back on that stuff? And 5:14 says, for all the law is fulfilled in one word. Even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That is the law. If you want to follow a law, if you want to have rules, so many people want rules. It's a thing of the flesh that we have rules. We like to live by rules. You wear this, you cut your hair this way, you dress this way, you talk this way, you do all kind of things, and even now it's gotten to be politically correct. You've got to do all those things too. But in verse 18 it says, but if ye be led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now listen to me. That term, led by the Spirit, means that you do what that Spirit that God has placed within you tells you what to do. It's of truth. It can't be anything but truth. It will not mislead you. And it'll tell you what you need to do. And in Galatians chapter 6, verse 3, for if a man think himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. Now here's the problem. And here, I think, is probably the key to spirituality. It's when a man thinks himself is something, he's nothing. Now, folks, let me tell you something. It says I can't be good. It says in Jeremiah that it's not within the heart of man to guide his own path. I can't do spiritual things. I can't reason spiritual things. I can't sit down and study them out and think them out and come to the conclusion because they're too far from me. I can't do it. But if I'm led by the Spirit, then I'm not under the law. Now, I don't have rules. You see, if somebody is walking alongside of you, keeping you from doing wrong things, what do you need with law? Somebody said, if you're not going to follow the Holy Spirit, you better have a bunch of organization and a bunch of committees and a bunch of voting and whatever. Because it's all left up to people then, and people can't do it for themselves. It gets in the biggest mess you've ever seen. In this game, you're nothing. And the quicker you find that out, the better off you're going to get along with God. When you just turn it over to Him and say, Lord, I can't do it. But you see, that does something else. It brings into this denying myself. Christ said, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself. Take up his cross daily and follow me. And so many times, it's too hard for us to deny ourselves. We can't do it. In another place, the Bible says, no man hateth his own body, but loveth it and cherisheth it. We all like ourselves. We all think ourselves are great. And we will defend ourselves at every chance and every time we're challenged. But if we think we're something in dealing with God, and you know, there was a time when I used to go to the last verses of Job and read when I got to feeling a little smart-alecky and high and lifted up, as they call it. I'd read what God said to Job when Job acted a little bit of smart-alecky. And God just asked him, where were you when I did all these things? Where were you? Who do you think you are? That's what he said. And we all need taken to the woodshed ever so often, because we just, it's a natural way that we get to thinking a little bit too much of ourselves. But it says if we do, we're deceiving ourselves. I'm lying to myself because I can't be what I think I am if I think I'm that. Now, here we go. What do you say to this to me? Okay, we're supposed to be led by the Spirit. How do we know what the Spirit is? When this voice comes in my head, do I know it's the Spirit or not? Do I know it's of God? Well, Peter says to try every spirit to see if those are of God. You can check some of them with the Word, and some of them you'll just know. But if you're looking for God's opinion, see, I've learned that you never know where God's opinion is going to come from. If you're looking for direction in how to live your life and make the decisions that you have to make, and you're constantly looking for God's opinion, you want to do what God wants to do, how do you go about doing that? The guy that comes along and says, well, in that case, you ought to do this. Or somebody says, in that case, you ought to do this. How do you know what is coming from God? Well, look back up at chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lust. It says that those who belong to Christ and are close to Him have dealt with all these things. And now they have peace and joy and self-control. So if somebody is defending themselves, if they have a tendency to get mad and pout and suck and try to defend it, you know they're not coming from God. So you see, you're looking, if it's going to come from God, it's going to come from someone who is close to God. That's the only ones He tells. See, the one thing about this whole thing here is, my Bible says that God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. So all you got to do is to cut off that supply of information from God is to get proud and defensive. And there it goes. He says in one place, whoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. God says if I try to make something bigger of myself than I am, than He wants me to be, then He's going to see to it that I'm brought down. It's a law. And He says it 18 times in His Word. 18 times. You can't get God's opinion from a proud person. It's just not coming. The thing that bothers me, folks, pride is an expression of the flesh. And it says in Romans chapter 8 that no flesh can please God. So then, reading into that, no pride can please God. I know too many folks that are leaders in spiritual situations that are dealing with pride. And according to the Word, God's not equipping them. Now, if you feel that you've got God's opinion, if somebody's asking an opinion, you feel like you've got God's opinion, You give it. You state it. And then you wait and let God defend it. He is perfectly capable of doing so. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. This I was taught years and years ago is the law of the harvest. Whatever you plant, that's what you're going to get. You don't plant cucumbers and get pumpkins. And you don't plant peas and get carrots. You get whatever you plant. And that is what he's trying to use here as an instruction for us. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. Anthony brought this up Thursday night, and that word has not gotten more than 3 feet away from my brain since then. That is a very, very interesting word in the Greek. And he made the point. The only thing that I can arrive at on my own without God is corruption. And corruption in the Bible dictionary is waste, destroy, shrivel up, wither, and an interesting two words on the last of that definition, either spontaneous or inflicted. Now I had to go back and study that a while. I just had to sit there and run that stuff through my mind. Either spontaneous or inflicted, you're going down. If I attempt to do things in the flesh, make my own decisions, and then back them up and try to press them through, it's going to wind up in corruption. I'm going to be destroyed, shriveled up, withered. And the thing that's so interesting to me, it's either spontaneous or inflicted. Either way, it can be spontaneous, which is automatic. Maybe I just get automatically destroyed. Or it may have to be inflicted by God. God put it on me to be destroyed. But either way, I think what he's saying in that verse is, if I choose not to call on him for his advice and live my life by him, he's going to see to it that I'm destroyed one way or another. If I can't destroy myself, he'll do it for me. Verse 10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Okay? What does that mean? Well, I'll find somebody that needs help and I'll help them. That's not what it means. Because I'm going to tell you something. We've learned in this community right here, every way you turn 360 degrees, there is somebody in need. All you got to do is get out and mix around a little bit, and you'll find them. You can't supply all those needs. So how do you know which needs you're supposed to supply? It says right here, as we have therefore opportunity. You know who's in charge of the opportunities? You know who is God going, who is going to bring somebody in front of you and you realize that they have been singled out for you to do something for? God's in charge of those opportunities. And he will see to it. All you've got to do is have the heart to want to do for people and to feel like that you're doing it for God, and God will give you all kind of opportunities to use that love he has placed in you to use. Verse 13 says, for neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. You know what that means? And you know it yourself. People who are leading you into doing a bunch of stuff so you can be considered spiritual, that come under this thing of laws, they can't keep them. You know they can't keep them. And you know what? You can't keep them either. But I'll tell you what you do. If you come under somebody's ministry, had a guy call me from Texas this week, and he says, I'm trying to get this guy to clean his life up, and I told him, you're going to have to quit doing this and quit doing that. I said, no. You don't tell him that. Because I sensed right here, he wanted that guy to start trying to clean his life up. But you see, we've already seen that it's not doesn't have anything to do with God. But if he tried to clean his life up, and people in the church or around the community saw him trying to clean it up, then the guy that got him to do it, he can say, I got him to do that. And you see, that's the reason God doesn't operate that way. He doesn't want anybody to have the glory but him. He wants to be the one that everybody recognizes as the one that changed our life and changed our heart and made us like he wanted us. They want to glory in what they got you to do. But you know what? It seems like there is an emphasis today on salvation. Nothing wrong with that. Trying to get everybody they can saved. There's no problem with that. Salvation is probably the most important thing. But the problem is, it's not the only thing. Because we go back to that scripture a while ago, and it says, the life that I now live after I have died to myself and Christ, and I'm born again, and the Holy Spirit is living inside of me, I live by faith. Every day I live by faith. Faith brings about salvation. But I tell you this, faith brings about every day in our life too. Salvation is the main thing, but it's not the only thing. And it seems like that we get folks saved and just kind of back off and just turn them loose and let them go their own way. Salvation squares you with God on the subject of sin. It squares you with Him. You will be in heaven once you're saved. You can't lose that. But what about every day that I have to live with all these things bearing down on me and all these temptations and Satan going about like a roaring lion seeking whom he would desire? What about all those things? How do I do that? A living is a faith. And I'm trusting God that He will teach me and show me every day, every moment of the day, how I might live without getting under that situation where I've got corruption. Now, here's what we come to. We're born again. We're saved. We're a Christian. We're facing the tribulations of life every day living on this earth. We got choices to make. I'm going to say this. Flesh is considered a bad thing, and it's not a thing in the world but what I came into this world with. It's my brain. It's my mouth. It's my eyes. It's my hands. If I use them instead of God, I'm going down. Anthony made the point the other night. These people who try to be so religious and appear to be so good, they're going down and they don't even know they're going down. So what I do? I remember the scripture that says, at whom the Son has set free is free indeed. I can't live by rules, but I can live by the Holy Spirit. I can't be sanctified by rules, but I can be sanctified by the Holy Spirit. I cannot do God's will by rules, but I can by the Holy Spirit. So you see, this whole thing is not about you. It's not about me. It's about Jesus. and His relationship to us. You can have that out there. You can have it in here. You don't have to come to church to get Jesus. He lives within you all the time. If you need direction, my library 10 years ago had more books in it trying to figure out the will of God than anything else, any other subject. The only thing really I've ever got any books for is trying to figure out what God wants me to do. And then I found out I'm living out God's will every day. In a way, I don't have to ask Him, Lord, what You want me to do. Because you see, He's got my life circumstanced to where I'm going the way He wants me to go, if I'll just continue to look for Him and ask to be filled with the Spirit. It says who prays to be filled with the Spirit won't be turned down. That's a prayer everybody can pray and everybody can get answered. So then, to capsulize the whole thing, it's about Jesus. And I'm not trying to give you a message. You can get messages everywhere. I'm trying to give you a man, Jesus. He's in heaven. He's still alive. He's at the right hand of the Father. He is bringing about circumstances and opportunities in your life through the Holy Spirit every single day. He's got instructions for you just like He had instructions from God. We can go back and study His life, Jesus' life, to learn more about what we're supposed to do. But I'm telling you this, I just learned in the last few days. The Holy Spirit is not trying to put the Jesus that walked the earth inside of me. He's trying to put the resurrected Jesus inside of me. He is trying to put the Jesus that is sitting on the throne at the right hand of the Father. That's the Jesus He's putting in me. Because you see, the things have changed. And the situations have changed. And Jesus is about what's happening now. And He is directing the Holy Spirit in me to keep me out of trouble every single day. So what my point is, it's like that old song Johnny Cash had. I'm telling you, me and Jesus, we got our own thing going. I mean, it's between you and Jesus. That's what it is. And I encourage you to continuously turn your face to Him so the things of earth down here will get dim. Good song choice. Let's pray. Father, make us understand this subtle thing, but we know that Satan works with the subtleties. He was the most cunning and subtle thing that You ever created, You said. He never gets us off a lot, just a little bit. And that's where He wants us, where we can, without even realizing it, get in a situation where God can't use us. The one thing, Lord, it seems that He fears more than anything else is us being obedient to You. Because you see, if we're obedient to You, we can be used like You want us to be. So Lord, we thank You today for Your word and for what You've told. Let us use it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.